The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
I believe that China is going to land a rover on the dark side of the moon, and it's not really much of a prediction. They're going to claim this is a science mission, which it is. However, this is really strategic for us. If they're going to use they'll put a satellite up in halo orbit over the far side, and that will be able to control and communicate with their lunar lander or in their rover. That is first time that they've done anything like that. That's a really big deal. And I worry that this is a first step in controlling the space between the moon and the Earth. It's called cislunar space. And it's strategic and really, really important. And you kind of really don't want anybody to control that area of space because it
seems like an advantageous position to
it's
have.
It's a good place. It's kind of like a Death Star position, if you will. If you had the big laser,
right,
that's where you'd put it.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, today, I think online at glennbeck.com is your predictions for 2018 when it comes to foreign affairs. This is one of them. However, a lot of that goes into what's going on in the Middle East, goes on to what's going on with immigration. It goes to the treatment of non-Muslims in the Middle East, what we've talked about with the Nazarene Fund, socialist countries and their economies. It's all up there. And what we're doing is you go to glennbeck.com, you can read through them, and then you upvote the ones you think are going to come true. And then at the end of the day, we get to kind of see which ones do you think Glenn is sane on and which ones do you think he's insane
correct. On. Correct. And we're going to get to some of those coming up, and also the economic predictions at 5 o'clock only on the Blaze TV. Leroy Chow, he is he's an astronaut. He's an astronaut with NASA. He was the commander of the International Space. Leroy, you're
here.
I should probably ask you.
International Space Station.
The Space Station. And aren't you the guy who went and you have piloted Russian and Chinese or just Russian vehicles?
Oh, no. I'm an American. I was born in the U.S. and I flew 3 space shuttle missions before traveling to the International Space Station as a co-pilot aboard a Russian spacecraft.
That was it.
And I was the commander of the station for 6.5 months during Expedition 10.
So you haven't really accomplished much in your life, is what you're saying.
When are you going to do something with yourself? Leroy, I just have to, just on a personal side, what is it like to come back to Earth and look up and go, I'm never going to go back there, and it was the coolest thing ever?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, when I got selected to be an astronaut, I never imagined the day would come when I would decide to leave NASA. But, you know, during my first 2 weeks at NASA, there was a going away party for one of the senior guys, and I overheard somebody talking to him and talking to another guy and said, well, how do you know when it's time to leave? And he said, you know, when it's time, you'll know. And I remembered that. And 15 years later, sure enough, you know, I was getting ready to go fly to the International Space Station, or actually I'd just gotten back, and the chief asked me if I would stay for another shuttle mission, and I thought about it for about 30 seconds, and I turned him down, and I kind of surprised myself, but I'd done everything that I could do and could hope for in a flying career. You know, I'd flown space shuttle missions, I'd done spacewalks to help build the space station.
Wow.
You know,
what is it like?
The station and done all that stuff, and it was just time to go do something else.
Is there anything that the average person can compare to walking out into space the first time?
No, it is, you know, even the sixth time, it's a bit of a surreal experience. You're actually in a spacesuit, which you can think of as a personal spacecraft. You know, it's got all the life support system and everything, but you're all alone. You know, there's nobody else that can help you except for your partner who's out there with you. But you know, it's kind of a weird feeling the very first time, looking back through the shuttle windows and waving to my buddies inside who are about 3 feet away. But, you know, something happened. We were out there alone and, you know, it was kind of up to us to save ourselves. But, you know, it's okay because we're well trained and everything works well. And, you know, certainly there's risk, but you know what to do. You know, we were able to get our jobs done, but it is kind of a weird thing, you know?
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it is. I wanted to ask you about the Chinese shot of the what is it, the Chang'e?
Chang'e, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you explain going on the other side of the moon? Mm-hmm. It'll be the first time, really, that we can hear deep sky or radio without all of the static from Earth, right?
Not really, because you still have to relay through that that relay satellite, right? So,
right.
You know, the fact that they're going to the far side of the moon is unique. Nobody has landed a probe over there, not for any particular reason, except that, you know, you have to have a relay satellite in order to communicate with it. So they've got to first put that relay satellite in that halo orbit so that you can relay messages from the far side of the moon back to the ground stations on the Earth. But it's going to be interesting to see if there's any difference between what we found on our scientific probes on the side that we can see versus the far side.
Why all of a sudden, and I think it's a great thing. I mean, I'm excited with, you know, with what Elon Musk is doing and everything else, but mm-hmm. why all of a sudden do we have this race, it seems, to go up into space again?
Well, you know, you're right. The commercial side has been the very exciting wild card. I mean, NASA has been going along. We've done the shuttle program, station program, and we're kind of plodding along with exploration, although there's been no serious, you know, or no significant, I should say, or farther advancing political and financial commitment to that. There's been a lot of talk, and we are developing the new vehicles, but it's Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos,
yeah.
SpaceX and Blue Origin, and here are two guys who are visionaries and who are willing to commit their resources, their personal and influential resources, to go ahead and do exploration. You know, that's never been done before by commercial companies. You know, where's the profit in colonizing Mars, as Elon Musk wants to do, or in the case of Jeff Bezos, he wants to build infrastructure in low Earth orbit and out into cislunar space. So, you know, he's kind of doing, sounds like kind of a Field of Dreams thing, you know, build it and they'll come.
Yeah.
But it would be difficult to get like a Boeing or a Lockheed. There's no way their shareholders or their boards would let them go do these things.
Yeah.
But these guys, they're out there, and they're serious. They're building rockets. They're launching rockets, and it's pretty exciting. They're pushing exploration for the first time. We've got commercial companies pushing exploration.
How realistic? I've read that helium-3 is the moon is rich with helium-3, and if you had a fusion system that you could, if you could fill the space shuttle with helium-3 and it would run, it would be enough power for the United States for a year. Is there any way to transfer this or use this?
Well, helium-3, I mean, helium-3 is present on the moon, but it's in the soil in the parts per billion concentrations. So that is, you know, for every gram of helium-3 that you might harvest, it'd be a billion grams of regolith, you know, lunar soil that you'd have to go through and find a way to separate this stuff out. So it's theoretically possible. You could certainly theoretically possible to separate the helium-3 and store it and bring it back to Earth. But the other part of the problem is we don't have a fusion reactor. You know, we've been 20 years from a fusion reactor since the 1950s,
yeah.
Right? And so you know, we need to invent a fusion reactor that is practical and actually works before we talk about bringing helium-3 back from the moon. But people that, you know, have used helium-3 as a justification for going back to the moon, and to me that's nice, but there are a lot more practical reasons to go. If we're going to go to Mars, the moon is the perfect place to prove your equipment, to train your crews, to get some experience before sending all that stuff to Mars, because the moon is pretty close. It's only 3 days away. If there's an issue, you can get your crew back. Mars, on the other hand, the closest approach is, you know, on the average, about 6 months away.
As we saw with Matt Damon recently.
Yeah, right. We should. That guy, man, he was...
He's had a tough time.
Yeah.
Many journeys have turned out poorly for Matt Damon. It's sad.
Leroy, when you hear the size of the rocket that Elon Musk is building, he says it's going to be 40 stories tall and can fit a 747 inside mm-hmm. of the bay. When you see, and I know this is Hollywood, but when you see these movies and we are developing eventually some sort of interplanetary vehicles, They're enormous. Do we build those in space on the moon, or do we launch them?
You know, there are different ways to look at this. So Elon Musk did announce these huge rockets that he wants to build, and that's to support his vision of colonizing Mars. So he's envisioning building spacecraft that can take 100 or more passengers to go, you know, start to colonize Mars. So there are two schools of thought. Either you launch it all at once, and you've got to have a huge rocket to do that, or you build gas stations in, say, in low Earth orbit or in orbit around the moon, and then you launch kind of an empty vehicle out there and then fuel it up to go, right? So there are pluses and minuses to each approach, but what Elon is talking about is building a huge rocket, much bigger than the Saturn V. In fact, in the 1950s, 1960s, the United States, it was called the Nova rocket. You know, they had these ideas where they were going to build these similarly huge rockets to do interplanetary exploration. And so there's certainly something to that. There's some history to it. You know, the thing with Elon Musk that I've learned is that he may not make the exact date that he projects, but by and large, he's able to get things done. You look at the successes of SpaceX with Falcon 9 and with Tesla, it's pretty impressive.
So if Elon Musk called you and said, hey, I want you to come and colonize Mars, and you could take your family, would you do it?
Nah, you know what? I would love to go explore Mars, but I have no interest in living there. Life is much better here on the Earth, even from low Earth orbit. You know, it's great to go out there and have the adventure, but I'm going to come back here.
Yeah. Leroy, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Leroy,
yeah, my pleasure.
Leroy Chow, an astronaut extraordinaire, and something that the early astronauts did not have the opportunity to do, and that's go back into space over and over and over again.
Glenn Beck, The Blaze Radio Network.
There's a ton of things that I have to do this year. One of them, get organized, get into better shape, spend more time with family and friends, and to do it all, I have to be well rested. And that starts with getting a great night's sleep, which you're guaranteed to get every night when you sleep on a Casper mattress like I do. Casper is, I think, the perfect mattress, not only because it is really, really comfortable, it supports my back and everything else, but it is so wildly inexpensive when you A-B compare. Casper mattress, I'm not alone in loving it. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. The mattress ships for free in a box so small you're going to be saying to yourself, how the heck do they get it in there? Get a Casper now. Start your year off right. Try yours in your home for 100 nights free with shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com/Glenn. That's $50 off the purchase of your mattress. You can do it right now. Casper.com/Glenn. $50 towards the purchase of your mattress, inexpensive, and a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions apply.